Good morning, good morning. Welcome. It's good to see you here on a beautiful sunny day, and it's time for our hymn sing. So welcome to everyone here at church, and welcome to those of you joining us on Zoom. And I walked up, I saw some people already looking at their hymnals. So does someone have a request for us to start with? Yes, Alita, please. Okay, number 389. And we'll sing both verses as soon as I get there. 389, freely, freely.
God forgave my sin in Jesus' name. I've been born again in Jesus' name. And in Jesus' name I come to you to share his love as he told me to. He said, freely, freely you have received, freely, freely give. Go in my name, and because you believe, others will know that I live.
Our next request. Yes, Deb. 89. Number 89. Joyful, joyful, we adore thee. Which verses, Deb? 1 and 4 of 89.
Joyful, joyful, we adore thee, God of glory, Lord of love. Hearts unfold like flowers before thee, opening to the sun above. Melt the clouds of sin and sadness, drive the dark of doubt away. Giver of immortal gladness, fill us with the light of day. Mortals, join the mighty chorus which the morning stars began. Love divine is reigning o'er us, building a singing march we onward, victors in the midst of strife. Joyful music leads us onward in the triumph song of life.
Thank you. And our next request, please. Who's got a favorite? Yes. Okay, Gary, 714. I did. June, June Fox used to ask for this one. And you said 1 in 4?
Yeah, 1 in 4.
7:14. Was Joan Fox. I think I said June. I was thinking of June Fisher and Joan Fox, and I said both names. But anyway, that's a favorite that goes way back. Thank you. And I think we have time for one more before Kathy rings our bell. Yes. 348, first and last. 348. Softly and tenderly. 348, verses 1 and 4. Thank you, everyone. We'll now continue with our service.
Thank you, Colleen. Good morning and welcome to the United Methodist Church of Yucaipa, the House of Faith. We're so glad to see everyone here this morning and those of you that have joined us on Zoom. Please remember to sign in on the red pew pads there at the end of your pew and pass them down to those in your row so that we know who's here today. And also a reminder that there are blue prayer cards in front of you in the pews if you have a prayer request that you'd like to make, please fill one of those out and put it in the dish as you leave the church. A reminder that there is coffee and fellowship after the service in the past the breezeway, so please join us. And we will now have our announcements, further announcements. We have birthdays this month, January. We please wish a birthday, happy birthday to Marion, Mike, Bill, Lorraine, Rebecca, Anne, Gary, and Audrey. Happy birthday. Enjoy your month. The January newsletter is available in the Narthex, so please pick one up as you leave. Or you can contact the office if you'd like to have it by email, mail, or to pick it up. Our next pastor's lunch is January 14th at noon at Legend 8 China in Kalamasa. The price is $15. Please sign in the fellowship hall at the script table so that pastor knows how much food to order. And we want to wish a thank you to our staff here at Umpqua. They do a great job, and I want to thank you guys for all the hard work that you do. And The Chosen Season 3 will resume today in the Camellia Room at 11 o'clock after the service and after some fellowship, so please join. And the Book Club, Tuesday, January 20th at 10 a.m. in the Camellia Room. There will be great discussion and snacks, so please join us. And our next Parents' Night Out will be January 23rd from 6 to 8:30 p.m. They're going to build forts and make pizza. Sounds like a great time. Now, it is our time for the call to worship. Please stand as you are able. Whatever were gains to me, I now consider loss for the sake of Christ.
I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me.
One thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead.
I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward
in Christ Jesus. Amen. Our first hymn is number 98, To God Be the Glory.
To God be the glory, great things he has done. So loved he the world that he gave us his Son, who yielded his life on atonement for sin, and opened the life gate that all may go in. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the earth hear his voice. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the people rejoice. Father, through Jesus the Son, and give him the glory, great things he has done. The perfect redemption, the purchase of love, to every believer, the promise of God, the vilest offender will truly believe. A pardon receives. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the earth hear his voice. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the people rejoice. Oh, come to the Father through Jesus the Son, and give him the glory, great things he has done. Great things he has taught us, great things he has done, and great are rejoicing through Jesus the Son. But purer and higher and greater will be a wonder, a transport when Jesus we see. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the earth hear his voice. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the people rejoice.
Let us now pass the peace to our neighbor.
Alrighty, as you are being settled in your pew, let us welcome our beloved friends on Zoom. So glad to see you, Helen. And I wish you the very best year this year. And June, welcome. Welcome. Memorial for Joyce. Joyce, she lived. She used to worship together with June on every Sunday. We will have the memorial for Golden Oaks residents at the end of the month. And then her memorial here at our church is scheduled for March. So welcome to June. And George, you almost like a, I would say 95% close to Santa Claus. Very good. Good job, George. Alrighty. And welcome to Bill and April. And we have Carol and Mike on Zoom today. And Chris, good morning to you. And Brian and Janine, welcome.
We will now share our joys and concerns. Please raise your hand if you have something to share, and Deb will give you the mic.
I'd like to start off with, it's a little hot. Can you turn it down a little bit? I'm getting some echo in the speakers. I'd like to start out by saying I had a really great day in celebration with my grandchildren for Christmas yesterday, and it was also my daughter's birthday. So we had a wonderful gathering at the old spaghetti factory and open presents in the parking lot. It was a lot of fun. I'm also asking for travel mercies for my Aunt Bev, who is 85, and she's coming out to visit. And she's flying out on Tuesday. She's going to be spending a few days to change time zones, and then she's going on a several-day trip to Tucson for some touring and a hot air balloon ride. So she's excited about that, and then she'll be back some more. So you'll meet her in church, and I think we're going to be able to go to the pastor's lunch. So prayers for good travel mercies for her.
Two things. Thankful for my husband, who's going to turn 70 next Saturday. And so I will be at home Sunday having a big celebration for him next week. And then after that, I'm very thankful I can go with my daughter down to Florida and help her through her surgery. So I'm going to be gone a few weeks, but I'll be back.
Thank Hope you.
Hope so. Oh, yes.
Make sure you do.
Good morning. Some of you may have noticed, maybe all of you noticed on the birthday list that Lorraine's name was on there. Her birthday was yesterday. She is very, very weak, although she had enough strength to write out her monthly check. But she, the slightest bit of exertion just does her in. So yesterday, I was a little bit hesitant about it, but with it being her birthday, some of her family came over. It totaled only 8 people, but it still... It took a toll on her, but it was a happy toll. The big thing about it was that her firstborn child, who is now in his mid-30s, flew from Boston and was there for her birthday. Oh, wow. Yesterday. So, you take the good with the bad, but tomorrow she has her first oncology session. We have to go to... Upland for that, but at least we got in. We've been going places, and you get the initial got to talk to somebody, but they can't schedule you for anything because they're all booked up, you know. But she knows everybody's praying for her. She can't wait until she can come back here. She loves this church. And I got so many things. Oh, I know what I was going to say. Because of her physical condition, she can't do a lot of things that she would normally do. So guess what? She's trained me. And the biggest compliment I got the other day was that she said to me, "You've turned out to be a pretty good house husband." So that I'll just leave it at that for right now, and hopefully you'll see her and Sophie here with me. Thank you.
Thank you. Lita Kirker here. I have two friends that need prayers. One, her name is Badri. She's the owner of the Denny's in Cala Mesa. Over the holidays, she had to take her father and her mother to Redlands Hospital. Her mother has since come home, but her father, they put on palliative care and on hospice, so she needs your prayers. And in accordance with that, one of her waitresses has kind of been filling in with managerial duties. She's so tired. Plus she has another full-time job. So I told them that I would put them in our prayers this weekend.
So glad to see Cheryl today. Cheryl she has lined up her knee surgery in February. So please continue to pray for her.
Welcome back, Kathy. It's a joy to see you. I guess it's two joys, I don't know. Last Sunday after church, I called my son to see if I could come over and see the littlest grandson, and they didn't answer the phone. So I called his wife, and she didn't answer the phone. So then I called my other son, and I went to go see Cannon. And he was Mr. Negativity, which he's been lately. Anything you ask him, the answer is no. And it's very cute, but it's okay. And so then as I arrived at that son's house, the first son called me and said that they'd just gotten home, and I said I wanted to come see Graham, so I went over there, and he was so cute. Oh my God. And he was handing me all of his toys and doing everything, and "Can Grandma have a kiss?" And he'd walk over and he'd dip his head down so I could kiss him on the top of the head. And then he'd hand me a toy, go back, get a bite of pasta from his mother, and then turn around, come back, climb up on it, and then dip his head down. He must have done that like 20 times. It is the cutest thing ever. Anyway, that was my joys.
Hi, my name's Pat Shores. My brother Doug Solberg, he's on the prayer list. He passed away this last week, so rather than praying for him, I would appreciate if you'd pray for his son, Paul. Doug was never very religious at all, but Paul is very, very religious. And but I'm sure he's, you know, going through a lot of hard times with his father dying. So if you'd pray for Paul instead of Doug, that would be great.
Anybody on Zoom, please raise your hand.
Okay, let us now join in our unison prayer. Dear Lord Jesus, our hearts are so easily burdened by anxious thoughts, forgetting that you already know our every need and faithfully provide in your perfect time. Deliver us, Lord, from this weary habit of anxious striving. Teach us again what it means to believe and to release our fears into your hands. May we live with purpose, walking faithfully in the calling for which you sent us into this world. In your precious name, amen.
Let us continue our prayers in silence. Dear Lord, we are still at the beginning of this new year, filled with the uncertainties. We do not know what will happen to us, to our loved ones during this year. We might have some fears for the unknown future. We might have some anxieties in our hearts. But, oh Lord, you have been the very anchor. You have been our rock, immovable rock. You have always been there upon our journey. And you have shown yourself. You have shown yourself through miracles, through answering our prayers, through many signs in the nature. You spoke to us through your word. You spoke to our hearts through your Holy Spirit. You have shown over and over your presence, your living presence upon our journey. So, Lord, that's one thing that we are very certain. We face uncertainties, but we are certain that you are with us. You were there for us in the past. You are with us today. And you will walk into the unknown future with us. So we thank you for your eternal presence in our lives. And please, Lord, remove all the cause of worries, anxiety, depression, disappointment from our lives. And replace them with the assurance of your presence, that our heart may not be swayed by any uncertainties of life. Regardless what we see, regardless what happened unto us, we will still hold on to you, believe in your presence, believe in your power, believe in your intervention, and continue on. So bless us today, O Lord, as we worship you this morning. Empower us once more through your Holy Spirit, that we may restore the joy of living in the midst of all the problems we see. As you have led us this far with your loving care, your tender mercies, we know that our will, our life will be secured in you and in your hand. So, Lord, we lift up our praises and thanksgiving unto you for all that you have done, that you are doing, and that you will do all throughout this year. So we recommit ourselves, our loved ones, this church, this community, this nation, and the world into your care, and pray that your will be accomplished as it is in your kingdom. So now we join our prayers together, praying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power,
and the glory forever. Amen.
It is now time for our Young at Hearts moment with Deb.
Today's story is called Miss Rumphius, Story in Pictures by Barbara Cooney. The Lupin lady lives in a small house overlooking the sea. In between the rocks around her house grow blue and purple and rose-colored flowers. The Lupin lady is little and old, but she has not always been that way. I know. She is my great aunt, and she told me so. Once upon a time, she was a little girl named Alice who lived in a city by the sea. From the front stoop, she could see the wharves and the bristling masts of tall ships. Many years ago, her grandfather had come to America on a large sailing ship. Now he worked in the shop at the bottom of the house, making figureheads for the prows of ships and carving Indians out of wood to put in front of cigar stores. For Alice's grandfather was an artist. He painted pictures, too, of sailing ships and places across the sea. When he was very busy, Alice helped him put in the skies. In the evening, Alice sat on her grandfather's knee and listened to his stories of faraway places. When he had finished, Alice would say, "When I grow up, I too will go to faraway places, and when I grow old, I too will live by the sea." "That is all very well, little Alice," said her grandfather, "but there is a third thing you must do." "What is that?" asked Alice. "You must do something to make the world more beautiful," said her grandfather. "All right," said Alice, but she did not know what that could be. In the meantime, Alice got up and washed her face and ate porridge for breakfast. She went to school and came home and did her homework, and pretty soon she was grown up. Then my great Aunt Alice set out to do the three things she had told her grandfather she was going to do. She left home and went to live in another city, far away from the sea and salt air. There she worked in a library, dusting books and keeping them from getting mixed up, and helping people find the ones they wanted. Some of the books told her about faraway places. People called her Miss Rumphius now. Sometimes she went to the conservatory in the middle of the park. When she stepped inside on a wintry day, the warm, moist air wrapped itself around her and the sweet smell of jasmine filled her nose. "This is almost like a tropical isle," said Miss Rumphius, "but not quite." So Miss Rumphius went to a real tropical island where people kept cockatoos and monkeys as pets. She walked on long beaches, picking up the beautiful shells. One day she met Baba Raja, king of a fishing village. "You must be tired," he said. "Come into my house and rest." So Miss Rumphius went in and met Baba Raja's wife. The Baba Raja himself fetched a green coconut and cut a slice off the top so that Miss Rumphius could drink the coconut water inside. Before she left, the Baba Raja gave her a beautiful mother-of-pearl shell on which he had painted a bird of paradise and the words, "You will always remain in my heart." "You will always remain in mine, too," said Miss Rumphius. My great-aunt, Miss Alice Rumphius, climbed tall mountains where the snow never melted. She went through jungles and across deserts. She saw lions playing and kangaroos jumping, and everywhere she made friends she would never forget. Finally, she came to the land of the lotus eaters, and there, getting off a camel, she hurt her back. "What a foolish thing to do," said Miss Rumphius. "Well, I have certainly seen faraway places. Maybe it is time to find my place by the sea." And it was, and she did. From the porch of her new house, Miss Rumphius watched the sun come up. She watched it cross the heavens and sparkle on the water, and she saw it set in the glory of the evening. She started a little garden among the rocks that surrounded her house, and she planted a few flower seeds in the stony ground. Miss Rumphius was almost perfectly happy. "But there is still one more thing I have to do," she said. "I have to do something to make the world more beautiful." "But what?" "The world is already pretty nice," she thought, looking out over the ocean. The next spring, Miss Rumphius was not very well. Her back was bothering her again, and she had to stay in bed most of the time. The flowers she had planted the summer before had come up and bloomed in spite of the stony ground. She could see them from her bedroom window, blue and purple and rose-colored. "Lupins," said Miss Rumphus with satisfaction. "I have always loved lupins the best. I wish I could plant more seeds this summer so that I could still have more flowers next year." But she was not able to. After a hard winter, spring came. Miss Rumphius was feeling much better. Now she could take walks again. One afternoon, she started to go up and over the hill where she had not been in a very long time. "I don't believe my eyes," she cried when she got to the top, for there on the other side of the hill was a large patch of blue and purple and rose-colored lupins. "It was the wind," she said as she knelt in delight. "It was the wind that brought the seeds from my garden here, and the birds must have helped." Then Miss Rumphius had a wonderful idea. She hurried home and got out her seed catalogs. She sent off to the very best seed houses for 5 bushels of lupin seed. All that summer, Miss Rumphius, her pockets full of seeds, wandered over fields and headlands, sowing lupins. She scattered seeds along the highways and down the country lanes. She flung handfuls of them around the schoolhouse and back of the church. She tossed them into hollows and along stone walls. Her back didn't hurt her anymore at all. Now some people called her that crazy old lady. The next spring, there were lupins everywhere. Fields and hillsides were covered with blue and purple and rose-colored flowers. They bloomed along the highways and down the lanes. Bright patches lay around the schoolhouse and back of the church. Down in the hollows and along the stone walls grew beautiful flowers. Miss Rumphus had done the third, the most difficult thing of all. My great Aunt Alice, Miss Rumphius, is very old now. Her hair is very white. Every year there are more and more lupins. Now they call her the Lupin Lady. Sometimes my friends stand with me outside her gate, curious to see the old, old lady who planted the fields of lupins. When she invites us in, they come slowly. They think she is the oldest woman in the world. Often she tells us stories of faraway places. When I grow up, I tell her, I too will go to faraway places and come home to live by the sea. "That is all very well, little Alice," says my aunt, "but there is a third thing you must do." "What is that?" I ask. "You must do something to make the world more beautiful." "All right," I say. But I do not know yet what that can be. Young or old, we can all make the world a better place. Amen.
Our next hymn is in your insert. His Eye is on the Sparrow.
Let not your heart a sparrow, and I know he watches me. His eyes is on the sparrow, and I know he watches me. I sing because I'm happy. I sing because I'm free. For his eyes is whenever clouds arise, when songs give place to sighs, when hope within me dies, I draw the closer to him. From care he sets me free. His eyes is on the sparrow, and I know he cares for me. His eyes is on the sparrow, and I know he cares for me. I sing because I'm happy. I sing because I'm free. For his eyes is on the sparrow, and I know he watches me.
Our scripture reading today is from Matthew chapter 6, verses 25 through 34. Therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? And which of you, by worrying, can add a single hour to your span of life? And why do you worry about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field. How they grow. They neither toil nor spin. Yet I tell you, even Solomon in all his glory was not clothed like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which is alive today and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, you of little faith? Therefore, do not worry, saying, what will we eat? Or what will we drink? Or what will we wear? For it is the Gentiles who seek all these things. And indeed, your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. So do not worry about tomorrow. For tomorrow will bring worries of its own. Today's trouble is enough for today. The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God. Good morning, everyone. So glad to see you all here. So glad to see all of you on Zoom as well. And I pray that we will have once more, every Sunday we gather together, we'll have special visit from the Holy Spirit who touches our heart, who speaks to us in a gentle voice, so that we all can hear the voice of God this morning. A wealthy businessman showed up for worship on Christmas Sunday, which was his yearly routine. During prayer, he bowed his head and prayed fervently, "Lord, please let my 500,000 shares in that AI company soar. And while you are at it, could you double the price of my Amazon stock? I also have a business in California that's struggling. Maybe you could arrange a buyout, preferably very profitable." He went on like this for several minutes, praying himself into billionaire territory. Then he wrote a very generous check, dropped it in the offering plate, and promised God he would give even more next Christmas, assuming the Lord delivered. As the service ended, the businessman noticed another man still kneeling in prayer. Curious, he lingered nearby and listened. "Lord," the man whispered, "help this poor sinner. Let me earn enough to feed my children. Maybe afford a new suit, some shoes, just enough to make it to a job interview." The businessman reached into his thick wallet, pulled out several $100 bills, tapped the man on the shoulder and said, "Here you go, friend. No need to bother God with the little stuff." Do people worry only about big things, not small ones? Does worrying belong to a certain category of people? Everyone in all status worried about all kinds of things. Some people even worry that they have nothing to worry about. Worry takes up a large portion of everyone's mind, all because of uncertainties deeply rooted in life. And sustaining life remains a great challenge. To this almost insurmountable problem, Jesus gave simple solutions in his Sermon on the Mount. Jesus first pointed out how unproductive worrying is. He then emphasized how precious we are in God's eyes, thus the needlessness of worrying. Lastly, Jesus taught that believers should shift their focus from sustenance to God's purpose. Let's delve into them. To better understand the meaning of worry, I want to include verse 24 of chapter 6 in the gospel lesson. We didn't read it, but we will look into it. We usually study verses 19 through 24 for the lesson on treasures in heaven and verses 25 through 34 as a separate lesson on do not worry. We just read those parts, 25 through 34. But in the Greek text, these two teachings on treasures in heaven and not to worry are treated as one lesson, which help clarify the concept of worry. Verse 25 begins with therefore. Therefore is a conjunctive adverb in English grammar and indicates a logical result. The Greek word for therefore is more accurately translated as because of this. Because of this, I tell you, you do not have to worry. Because of what? So we need to look at 24. So let me read verse 24. No one can serve two masters. Either you will hate the one and love the other, or you will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. And verse 25. Therefore, or because of this, I tell you, do not worry about your life. How is the fact that we cannot serve two masters, money and God, related to the fact that we should not worry? Worry in Greek is merimna, which implies being divided into parts or going to pieces. The meaning of merimna agrees with the verse 24. No one can serve two masters. You should not be divided because you have only one choice, money or God, not both. But think about it. Our hearts are constantly preoccupied with concerns about expenses for food, clothing, health, and our lives in general. Our worry about money does not improve the situation. Worse yet, worry takes our attention away from what God wants in our lives and from how to glorify God. When we worry about things, our hearts are divided and unsettled between money and God, like the word merimna indicates. That's what worry is. Our hearts are divided. We do not know what to do, wavering back and forth, and we make no progress in either direction. What Jesus said is absolutely correct. Can any of you by worry add a single hour to your lifespan? We cannot. Worry is not productive at all. It does not improve the situation nor our faith in God. Both worry and anxiety are deeply rooted in our lives. Properly, worry and anxiety are used in Bible translations. For example, the RSV translates Jesus' word here as, "Do not be anxious about your life," while other translations say, "Do not worry about your life." But mental health professionals distinguish between worry and anxiety and treat them as distinct symptoms. According to the Intermountain Health website, worry is manageable when anxiety is not. Anxiety comes on quickly, often lingers, impairs activities of daily living, and triggers a physical response. If you can get it under control, it is more likely to be worried. If getting it under control is harder, this could be a sign that's moved into anxiety. Regardless, it seems hard to break free from worry or anxiety. Yet Jesus offered easy breakthrough. What remedy did Jesus suggest? The first is knowledge of our value and God's love for us. To explain our value, Jesus used ordinary things we find everywhere. Birds, flowers, and grass do not labor, plan, or save as we do. Yet they thrive because God takes good care of them. This simple logic clearly demonstrates that we are more valuable than those ordinary things. Accordingly, the degree of God's care far exceeds that of those. Now, have you wondered about how valuable you are? If you haven't, I have an answer for that. After a quick Google search, I learned that all of you are more than deca-millionaires. You know what deca means? Ten. you have more than $10 million. I'll prove that. Give me a chance. Let me quote the value of just several parts of your body. Do you know how much a kidney transplant costs? Google says that without insurance in the U.S., a kidney transplant costs a massive amount, with estimates ranging from $200,000 to over $500,000 for the first year alone, averaging around $446,800 for the transplant procedure itself, that's the 2025 data, plus huge ongoing costs for lifelong anti-rejection drug, that is $2,500 a month. Counting two kidneys you have, now you are more than a millionaire already. A heart transplant in the U.S. costs nearly $2 million without insurance. Now, a true human leg transplant, have you heard of it? A true leg, the real human leg transplant using a donor limb is a complex experimental procedure with costs not well established, but likely hundreds of thousands to millions. And you all have two legs. I asked Google another question. How much is a human worth in money? I mean, there's such a question, and then Google answered it. It's crazy. I'll tell you the answer. The answer was, a human monetary worth isn't a fixed price, but varies significantly by context. And now this is a real thing. With government agencies using a value of a statistical life, government use this thing, you know, abbreviated as a VSL, for regulations, often around, you know how much? 10 to 13.5 million in the U.S. While black market organ estimate can reach tens of millions. So think about it, calculating all the non-transferable organ parts, your value goes much higher. So would you believe that you are more than a decabillion? How does God love us more than the bird and flowers? Jesus said, because you are more valuable than they. Paul said in Romans 8:32, if he didn't spare his own son but gave him up for us all, won't he also freely give us all things? So why worry? We are so precious in God's eyes, and God promised to take very good care of us. Lastly, instead of wasting our time and energy on worrying about money, as in verse 24, or what to eat and drink, we have a better thing to do. Shift our focus to the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Jesus said that worrying about sustenance is what pagans who do not know God do. Non-believers waste away by worrying. We do not see a gravestone that reads, he or she died of worry, but there is no question that many died of illness developed because of worry and anxiety. So what should the believers do? Instead of worrying, we kneel and pray. The Intermountain Health website says that as you repeat a phrase that's important to you, it begins to have a calming effect. It recommends silently repeating a short prayer or phrase. I mean, this is what I did. When I felt like the satanic force was tempting me, I repeated the phrase in the Lord's Prayer, "Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil," over and over. In other similar situations, I repeated Psalm 23 and 5, "Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup overflows," over and over. And I experienced that dark clouds over my path went away. Jesus invites us to a worry-free lifestyle that can be so easy. There are three things we have to do. First, be mindful that worrying is practically needless because it does not improve situation. Second, know that we are so valuable in God's eyes and that God takes care of our sustenance. Another reason not to worry. Third, we have a better thing to do. Shift our focus to our call to serve and glorify God. We are to live a call-driven life, not a worry-driven life. As a conclusion, I'm going to read this translation from the Message, and let's hear again Jesus' life lesson on worry. If you decide for God, living a life of God worship, it follows that you don't fuss about what's on the table at mealtime or whether the clothes in your closet are in fashion. There is far more to your life than the food you put in your stomach, more to your outer appearance than the clothes you hang in your body. Look at the birds, free and unfettered, not tied down to a job description, careless in the care of God. And you count far more to him than birds. Has anyone by fussing in front of the mirror ever gotten taller by so much as an inch? All this time, money wasted on fashion, do you think that it makes that much difference? Instead of looking at the fashions, walk in out into the field and look at the wildflowers. They never primp or shop, but you have you ever seen color and design quite like it? The 10 best dressed men and women in the country look shabbily alongside them. Very clever translation. Though I encourage you to dress up very nicely when you come to Sunday worship, because I love seeing pretty ladies and handsome men here. If God gives such attention to the appearance of wildflowers, most of which are never even seen, don't you think he will attend to you, take pride in you, do his best for you? What I'm trying to do here is to get you to relax, to not be so preoccupied with getting, so you can respond to God's giving. People who don't know God and the way he works fuss over these things. But you know both God and how he works. Steep your life in God reality, God initiative, God provisions. Don't worry about missing out. You will find all your everyday human concern will be met. Give your entire attention to what God is doing right now. And don't get worked up about what may and may not happen tomorrow. God will help you deal with whatever hard things come up when the time comes. Amen.
It's now time for the presentation of our tithes and offerings. And we will have special music from Colleen.
Blessings flow. Praise God, all creatures ye below. Alleluia, alleluia. Praise God, the source of all our gifts. Praise Jesus Christ, whose power of lives. Praise the Spirit, Holy Spirit. Alleluia, alleluia, alleluia. Lord Jesus, we humbly acknowledge your sustaining grace, sustaining presence in our lives. You have sustained our lives without failing unto this day, and you will continue to do so until the very end. So, Lord, we give you this thanksgiving as we recognize all that you have done for us. Receive this offering, O Lord. Bless it, that it may be used to build your kingdom in the world today. In Jesus' name, amen.
Our closing hymn today is number 437. This is my song.
My song, O God of all the nations, O song of peace for land, for far and wide. This is my home, the country where my heart is. Here are my hopes, my dreams, my holy shrine. What are the hearts in other lands are beating with hopes and dreams as true and high as mine. My country's sky are bluer than the ocean, and sunlight beam on clover leaf and pine. But other lands have sunlight too and clover, and skies are everywhere as blue as mine. Oh, hear my song, thou God of all the nation, oh, song of peace for their land and for mine. This is my prayer, O Lord of all of kingdom. Thy kingdom come, on earth thy will be done. Let Christ be lifted up till all shall serve him, and hearts united long to live as one. Oh, hear my prayer, thou God of all the nations. Myself I give thee, let thy will be done.
Let us pray. Lord Jesus, whenever we face challenges of life, our eyes turn toward it, preoccupied by the problems we have. But, O Lord, help us to shift our eyes on the things that you want us to do, that we may commit ourselves to carry out your will in the midst of all the problems, individual ones, the communal ones, national ones, worldwide ones. May we focus on you, seeking you, carrying out your will in our lives, that all we do may be given to you, that we may glorify you in all we do. So, Lord Jesus, bless us as we go from here, and may we be used to build your kingdom in the world today. So bless our commitment and our willingness to follow your call. In Jesus' name, amen.
Oh, now in peace, never be afraid. God will go with you each hour, every day. Oh, now in faith, steadfast, strong, and true. Oh, he will guide you in all you do. Oh, now in love, and sure you believe. Reach out to others, so all can see. God will be there, watch from above. Oh, in peace, in faith, and in love. Amen.